Understanding the Role I Choose. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Understanding the Role I Choose. Every one of us goes through life conducting ourselves in many roles. We act in many ways. We feel that we're going to be successful or not successful. We're going to be bosses or not bosses. We're going to be business people, or we're going to be farmers, or we're going to be industrial people. We're going to be whatever we're going to be. We're going to be husbands or wives. We're going to be family members. We're going to be sons and daughters. Our roles are varied and enlarged, but do we know what role we have chosen each time we choose a role? Or do we just sort of fall into it? Unexpectedly, we fall into different roles. A man falls in love with a girl and feels that she's just super, and decides that he's going to get married because he'd like to be with her and be around her and be in her vibrations and be in her love zone as much as possible. So they decide to get married. And she feels that he's a pretty good guy, and she likes him just the way he is. He's such a gentle, caring, sensitive person. Well, so they get married. And then she remembers that her father was certain ways, and her uncles and friends were certain ways, and it'd be kind of nice if her husband had a little bit of that. How come you can't always be like my friend? How come you can't be like my dad? How come you don't pick up after yourself? Why don't you do these things? Well, that's pretty neat, isn't it? That's really going to build a strong relationship. And he came into the relationship thinking that she was just going to understand his ways of doing things, though she never lived with him. She never lived with him before they got married and found out the kind of fellow he was. And he never lived with her before they got married and found out the kind of girl she was. Because these things don't just come upon us all of a sudden. They are our nature. They are the role that we have chosen. And the role that we choose is a role either of being ourselves and having fun, or trying to run the world. And I can assure you, trying to run the world is a thankless and a very endless task. And it's a task that very few people have the strength and the courage to do. Now, you look at Obama as our new president, you think, well, what a super guy. You know, he's got so many good features about him, so many good things about him. Well, Obama's a human being, and he has some faults about him. He has some attitudes about him that make him a little difficult to take. People who know him very well, they know about these attitudes, and they live with them, and they think, that's okay. They're nothing so terrible, nothing more different, much more different than any other human being, and they accept him just the way he is. And accepting him just the way he is, they become the greatest of compatriots. They become the greatest of friends. They work charmingly and beautifully together. However, if for any reason they feel like trying to tell each other how to improve or how to do things that would make their lives a little better and how they could get more out of the world and all that good stuff, what happens is that everything falls flat on its face. Everything falls down, and nothing succeeds anymore, because the role that they had chosen and the role that they're doing are two different things. We have a role in life which is very beautiful and very wonderful, very powerful, very fantastic, and that role is to be ourselves and have fun. Now, we don't understand that role. Because being ourselves, we think we are going contrary to what the rest of the world wants if we want to be ourselves. And that's not true at all. When we are truly ourselves, doing what makes us happy, doing what pleases us, doing what thrills us, doing what gives us a good feeling inside of ourselves, then we're really being ourselves, and we're really being happy, and the rest of the world loves us. It's when we put up a false image of what we think that we should do, what we think the world wants from us, when we think that being ourselves is being really somebody else. Is being myself being my dad? Is being myself being my brother? Is being myself being my friends? Is being myself being my minister? Is being myself being my teachers along the way? Never. Being myself is the highest and the most beautiful quality that we could ever aspire to in our life. Because being ourself, we do that which is our divine nature to its finest and highest degree. Our divine nature. Now, are you really able to live your divine nature? Can you really follow through on what your divine nature is? Wow! If you could! Wow! Wow! But we don't. And the reason we don't is because we have never been... We have not taken that school called the School of Divine Nature. Oh, Herb, where's that school? I'd like to go take that school. Where's that school? Well, the School of Divine Nature is within each one of us. And the full complement of teachers and professors and directors and guides and fellow students are all right there. But school has not opened. And this hasn't opened because you haven't gone in. Actually, school has been going on all the time. But we haven't gone in. Now, when we decide, when we choose, when we understand the role that we choose, then we look in different windows of this school within ourselves. And we see a window of a lovely person. And we say, that's pretty cool. We see the window of an intelligent person. We say, wow. We see the window of a genius. We say, oh, don't I wish. Well, we're slipping off the track. We see the window of a person who is whole and perfect and dynamic and immortal. And we say, wow, ooh, hey, that's something I'd like to be. Well, we are. You see, we see all these windows within us, and we think they're without us. We see these windows within us, these windows of our divine relationship to ourself. And we think it's something outside of ourselves, so we don't pursue it. We don't go after it. We don't look for it. And because we don't look for it, we don't find it. And it's there all the time. It's there waiting for us. It's there waiting for us to share with us and be with us and do with us anything we want to do. But are we there for it? Are we there to show who we are and what we are and what we want? Are we there? Do we really know that our highest and best is that which is already within us? And it's just the understanding the role that we choose. Now, you chose to be a human being. Now, you had many choices. You had the choice of being a divine being. You had the choice of being an absolute being. You had the choice of being a very relative being. And you had the choice of being a human being. Now, we said human being before, but you see, human being does not encompass all of the things that a divine being would encompass. A human being doesn't encompass what a relative being would be or an absolute being would be. But if you stop and think about it, they are part of the allness that we are. And it's just because we haven't understood the role that we have chosen to play that we aren't playing it. we think the role we're supposed to play is the role of a human being getting along in a human society, in a human world, with all of its human experiences. And we don't think that we are a divine being in a divine world that is absolutely perfect, that is absolutely wonderful, that is absolutely beautiful. And that's why we like the roller coaster. That's why we like something that has a little thrill to it. We like the thrill of life, the excitement, the unpredictable, the unexpected, the unplanned for. That's what we say we like. But our true nature likes peace. Our true nature likes balance. Our true nature likes love. A little baby is most content when he is balanced, harmonious, and loved. When he has a full tummy and an empty diaper, he just feels very content. And then the excitement comes along where he gets a full diaper and he doesn't get it changed. And so he yammers until something happens. Or, after a while, if he's truly ignored, he learns to live with it. And he doesn't think anything about it. It just gets heavier and heavier. But it does go in and it does go out. And he learns to live with it and it doesn't touch him. And he doesn't get unhappy about it. But you see, that's what we have done as human beings. We have learned to live with a loaded diaper. And that's sort of a sad thing, really. We have learned to think that a loaded diaper is a normal thing. We learned to think that if we smell something that is not happy for us, we just sort of ignore it, and we soon lose the sensitivity to it. People working next to the stockyards, where they keep the cattle, and they're getting ready for shipping out to the market, they are used to smelling the urine and the defecation of cows and all of this tremendous odor that comes, and the methane smell from the cows too. It's really quite pungent and quite overwhelming. And if you live or work near the stockyards, or the wind of the stockyards blows your way often, you become accustomed to it, and you don't think a thing about it. Now, do you have the privilege of moving away to an area where the stockyard odor doesn't penetrate? Sure you do. Do you have the privilege of going into such a fresh environment that it smells beautiful and looks beautiful and everything is glorious, and you have no outer odor? Not that the stockyards are good or bad, but you have no outer odor? Yes, you have the chance. You can make that choice. It's according to understanding the role that you choose to play. Many children leave home and they go away from the environment they grew up in. And the environment they grew up in may have been good or bad, it doesn't matter. But the environment they grew up in, they leave it. And they go for a different direction, a different way. Every one of us has this opportunity. Every one of us has this opportunity to go to a different direction. It's interesting how many people live their entire life in the North Country, in New York and Chicago and where have you. And then it comes time to retire. It comes time to relax and take life easy. And so they retire to Florida, where the temperature is more salubrious year-round. And they move into a different environment. They move into a more relaxed environment. But one of the things that they sometimes move into are the hurricane zones. Now, they don't need to live in the hurricane zones. There are not hurricanes over the entire state of Florida, up and down and in and out and round and about. It's in certain areas. But people move to those areas for whatever reason, and that's where the hurricanes are. And so they're disturbed by that, and they say, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting to say, oh dear, oh dear? But that's what we do, isn't it? That's just what we do, and that's just how we claim ourselves, and how silly we are. Now, we don't have to do that. We can live in our divine self. We can peek in that window inside of us, and we can see our absolute consciousness. We can see our divine consciousness. We can see the whole story going on there, just waiting for us to become a student of that particular story. When are we going to do that, if ever? How many times do we be born on this planet Earth? We like to say reincarnated. But how many times do we live on this dimension? How many times do we keep with us the same awareness in our background of what we had done before and never learned by it? How many times do we have to make a mistake, if mistake it is, and do things that are not what we call harmonious, and do them again and again and again? How many times do we have to do that? Well, it doesn't really matter. Because the moment that we decide we have understood what we had to understand from what we have chosen to experience, it's over. It's past. It's gone. If you understand that touching a painted bench that's still wet paint, and you get your hand paint, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that again. And so from that day forward, you have no anticipation, no desire, no thinking about touching a bench that might possibly be wet paint. You've been there, done that. You don't need that again. Many people do the same, so to speak, mistake over and over and over again. They feel that they have to drive beyond the speed limit because they like to be, you know, rapid. I was watching one fellow yesterday as I was driving back from town, and the traffic was very heavy, very, very heavy. For some reason or other, it just was very heavy. I was coming out of town at about 6:30, and so it really was quite heavy. And as I was driving out of town, on my right-hand lane ahead of me was a man who every once in a while would remember that he was in a hurry. And then he'd flip between cars and zip up here and zip over there and zip over here and zip over there. And he always ended up behind me. Not behind me on my row of cars, but behind me in the row of cars next to me. And I thought to myself, how interesting. And the reason that I was reminded of him was there was a big, brand new Cadillac RUV, and it had beautiful dot lightings all over it, and it was just a rather attractive car. I wouldn't want one like that. But it was just bright and attractive. It attracts your attention. And he would speed in, speed out, and speed in, speed out, and speed in, speed out. Well, by the time we got to Harbison Canyon, he had sped in and sped out at least a dozen times, endangering himself and irritating the other drivers around who were watching him, because they were thinking, what is the matter with that guy? And then he would drive, and there'd be a big opening. He could easily have slipped into it. He could easily have, but he apparently was tuning his radio or thinking of something else. And then once he got back to the act of being in a hurry, then he started slipping in and out of the little slots again. And then he'd stop again in lots of pauses, but he would be doing something else in his car. Maybe talking to someone, maybe thinking something, and not thinking that he was in a rush. But every time he remembered he was in a rush, he just started rushing. Well, as it was, he got himself behind some big trucks, and the big trucks slowed him down something tremendous. And we, in our other traffic lane, were just whizzing along and zipping along, and I could see the lighting on his car, which was unique, and I could see him way behind me waiting for those trucks to move so he could turn right on Harbison Canyon. Well, Why do we don't we learn by the things that we're doing? If we're in a hurry, start out early. But if you can't start out early, then say, okay, I'm going to be late. Or if you say, I'm going to be on time, everything is going to be all right. All is in divine order. Then, no matter what happens, you get home and the family were waiting for you, but your wife says, well, sweetheart, I'm sorry that you're late, but I'm glad that you're late because it gave me time to finish what I was doing. And I have a very special treat for supper tonight. And it's just about done. So get yourself ready for dinner, and kids, you get at the table there, and everything will be beautiful. And you see, all the rushing would be for nothing when we said all is in divine order. When we say all is in divine order and all is working in the perfect way for us, then truly it is. Understanding the role I choose. We can talk a lot more about understanding the role I choose, and I'm sure we will. But you take a few minutes and understand the role for you. And once you understand the role for you, you'll realize that you live in a pretty wonderful world, just like I do. And that I am absolutely fantastic just the way I am. And that I can peek through those windows in that school inside of me and see all of the classes that I could be enjoying, all of the growth and instruction and all of my divinity that I could be enjoying right now if I wanted to. And perhaps this is the day of my life that I'm going to say, all is in divine order, and I am in the middle of it. Have a lovely day, and know I love you. I love you. I love you.